This is Marketplace. I'm Rima Khreis. So a couple years back, at the start of the pandemic, I talked with someone for the Marketplace podcast that I host, This Is Uncomfortable, and he struck me as someone who was eternally optimistic, with every reason not to be. As he put it, he'd spent 17 years, 6 months, 2 days, and 35 minutes being wrongly convicted of a crime he didn't commit. He was in college, 20 years old when he was arrested, and he was 37 when he was released. You know, Kevin, he is, of course, far from the first or only person to be wrongfully convicted. According to data from the Innocence Project, a nonprofit for criminal justice reform, it's estimated that 1% of the U.S. prison population, so about 20,000 people, are falsely convicted. In the last 30 years, less than 3,000 have been exonerated in the U.S. I recently called up Kevin to see how he's doing today. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, man, it's been like, what, 2 years, I think, since we first talked. We chatted right when you've been exonerated in April of 2020. So I'm really excited to talk with you. And my first question is just, how are you? How are things going?
Well, I have a son. He'll be 1 year old next week, actually. So, you know, everybody's parents know. That keeps you on your toes.
Oh, man. I can't imagine. Yeah.
And doing a lot of stuff in the community with my nonprofit. You know, we do Coke giveaways, toy giveaways around Christmas time, Thanksgiving meals. And this will be our third year through all the holidays and stuff like that.
Wow. So many life updates. And so you've got that nonprofit. What other goals do you have for your career?
Well, so I started also a consulting firm, Justice Group Consulting Firm, LLC. Mm-hmm. Where I help guys that's still incarcerated, you know, they're claiming their innocence, helping them find their paperwork, helping them, you know, do some digging to, you know, unearth some of those things that I had to prove my innocence.
No, that's amazing. It sounds like you want to be the kind of resource you wish you had earlier on.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I also sit on a board of organization of exonerees where other people that was wrongly convicted in the state of Michigan, we all band together so we can help one another out. It's kind of like a brotherhood because we understand what we went through and where we at now.
I remember when we last chatted, we talked about how in the state of Michigan, where you were convicted and where you still live today, people who are released from prison after a wrongful conviction like yours are entitled to $50,000 for each year that was served. So in your case, 17 years.
Right.
Have you gotten that money yet?
Yes.
How has that money allowed you to rebuild your life?
Well, I don't believe there's no monetary funds that they can get someone for kidnapping, essentially taking someone away from their family or loved ones and essentially stopping their life.
Yeah.
Yes, money helps. I didn't have a lot of skill sets to be able to just hop back into the workforce like someone that just finished college, so to speak. So, you know, the money helps, you know, moving those type of things along and being able to, you know, find yourself a little bit, be able to pay your bills and things of that nature. And, you know, just try to enjoy life a little bit, you know, what you have left.
So you've also filed a federal lawsuit against some local detectives for about $160 million. And it seems like y'all are in the middle of that right now. You know, practically that money, I mean, obviously, would be huge. But symbolically, what would that mean to get that compensation?
It would mean justice. It would mean that the hand of justice really works. It would mean that the hands of justice is human, meaning we make mistakes, but we rectify them. That's what that money means. So no amount of money in the world that someone can give someone to say, well, hey, you lost loved ones, you missed funerals, because you was forced not to be here. It was mental torture. How do you supposed to uproot that and just carry on like nothing ever happened?
What's been the most difficult part of putting your life back together?
So, you know, you have to relearn things. Like today I told my girlfriend, actually, the backup camera, you know, like when you're trying to back up in your car, is like one of the best inventions.
I know, right?
It would have took me like 10 hours to parallel park. You know?
Yeah.
So, like, things like that, just, you know, the small things, like, you know, using the iPhone MapQuest. Like, that stuff is genius.
I remember when we last talked, you were really optimistic and really just like taking in the smaller joys of day-to-day life. And now that it's been 2 years since you've been released, what's a surprising source of joy lately for you?
I love going to the fitness gym. Like, it's very cool. There's a lot of stuff to do. They even have a daycare in there. So
amazing.
You know, I can watch my son. So those small things, I enjoy walking around my community, sightseeing. You know, I still feel like a foreigner almost. Like, I like different smells and different hustle and bustles. And I just love just being around in the mix of it. Every day is just a blessing.
Kevin Harrington, it's been a real pleasure talking with you. Thanks for coming on the show. I am, you know, wishing you and your family the best of luck.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me. And we need to do this more often. We need to do like a 90-day update or something. Like,
you know, every 90 days, we just check in. I am down,
Kevin. Let's do a 90-day. Kevin Harrington, what are you doing now? You
know? What's going on? Also, if you want to hear more of Kevin's story, including what it was like for him when he was first released back in April of 2020, you should check out the Marketplace podcast I host called This Is Uncomfortable. His episode is titled From Prison to Pandemic. Thanks so much, Kevin.
Appreciate you.